Before we dive into today's episode, Stu and Mark, Steve's best men, are here to remind you to join the Patreon, please. From as little as £3 a month, you will get an extra bonus episode once every 2 weeks, where it's just the three of us shooting the shit. A lot of people enjoy those ones, don't they, Mark?
Yes, they do indeed.
You'll also get the 5 live shows that we've already done in Glasgow, Edinburgh and London, and you'll get first dibs on tickets for future live events. We'll also be putting up the Pavilion show there.
Yes, coming very soon, if not out already. And yeah, as I say, first dibs on live show tickets. We'll probably have, I assume, a couple of stand-up shows and stuff over the summer in preparation.
I would imagine so.
For the Fringe, and we've got some plans for some more bonus content and stuff like that. Maybe wee offcuts from the public episodes, etc., coming soon as well.
Yeah, we're going to level up, aren't we, Mark?
Yes, that's the idea, leveling up. The secretary for that is Stephen Buchanan. he is our Michael Gove, and but no, that's the idea, to keep going and keep growing. So hopefully see you on the Patreon. Aside from that, guys, enjoy today's episode.
Enjoy.
Welcome to the Some Laugh Podcast.
It could be like, oh, that was some laugh, or there was just some laughs. Some laughs.
Well, no promising all laugh.
No, there's going to be some.
It's some laugh.
I think this is my fourth time on this movie.
Welcome back, Ray.
Thank you. I feel like you need a bigger phone book. That's what I feel like.
Well, you know, listen...
You asked us to be on.
You asked us, right? Well,
do you know what? Do you know what's so funny about this, right? I've got a PR team. That's the wankiest sentence. It's not even the wankiest sentence I'll say today. Uh-huh. And they like, so the same email I got, Radio 4 would like to do an in-depth interview, and so would the Some Laugh podcast. And I was like, what, Jennings and Stevie, like?
So they came to you and said that?
Yeah.
Well, that was because...
They came to us and said that you wanted to be... They're playing both sides.
Well, they...
guys, I would have just texted you.
I know, that's what...
Well, yeah,
you'd be surprised. Because I really wanted to go, listen, that's down the road from me in Clydebank, in a shed. Like, I don't need it. We'll be okay. But...
Well, no,
because I was... Thanks for being here.
I did want to say that to them as well, but I don't really... I'm not that used to using these people, and I sort of wonder whether... Do you kind of need to sort of... Let them feel like they're doing stuff.
Kind of. I genuinely burst out laughing when they said they've got me this. Because I was like...
It was the same as...
It's a great opportunity.
I was like...
Susie was the same.
Susie got Richard to get in touch with. And then he asked for the address and all that. I'm like, she's done it before. But I just didn't say it.
But that must have been the same thing that they've went to her and went, Some Laugh want to do it.
No, he asked her. Richard got in touch. To be fair, it was because she'd got his Reginald D. Hunter on a Zoom call. And he got fucking turned up, and then she's like, do you want Rachel Paris and we've got Bradshaw as well? And I was like, Bradshaw's doing more of it.
So funny, like when I got that email, I can't remember where I was on tour somewhere, and I just laughed because I was like, I've hit the big time, man. I'm playing Clydebank finally. Yes. After all these years.
But well, yeah, you know. Well, Farrelly tells us that when he done this, he sold more tickets than live at the Apollo. So,
is that true?
Make of that what you will.
That can't be true.
Was he better on this? He was like, because he was quite good in Live at the Apollo.
He was good in Live at the Apollo.
Oh, that's good for you, though.
That surprises me. How does he find that out? I don't know how you would.
I don't know. Well, gauge. Just if you look at your sales after the Apollo and then after this.
I've noticed, like, if I do, I can check on my website how many people like go on it in half an hour after I've done something, and see if I do talk sports, like a massive spike.
Is that right? Yeah.
But there was one. What did I do? Well, I did something. I can't remember. I did an interview. It was for something, and
Hawks
it was a massive.
And Jacobs.
I've done that, but it was something else. It was like a Radio 4 or something like that, and there was a huge spike in Poland. And I was like, well, I'm not doing any fucking Warsaw tour date, so that's a waste of time, man.
Get some in.
I know. I'd probably be big there.
You ever gigged in like outside, apart from like Australia and that, but like
non
English speaking?
I've done Croatia. I did a mad yoga festival in Croatia. Me, Dan Nightingale, and Glenn Will.
And
it was great, man. It was like on an island, and it was like a health retreat. And then at night, everyone just took pills and then danced in the forest.
I was thinking about particularly Nightingale and Glenn.
Glenn went missing for like 24 hours. Like, he was on the island, he just went away. And then he came, turned up. Dan didn't see him for like a day. Wow. And then Glenn just turned up a bit muddy, did the gig, and then went away again on this island. It was amazing. Yeah, I went to Alps, did gigs in the Alps. That was all right. Which I think I must have done.
But what are the gigs? See the gigs themselves. You're probably all right with that accent because you're quite well spoken. So was it fine, basically?
Yeah, they were saying they wish I had an English Lit degree from Glasgow Uni like you, but apart from that, I was all right. And whatever Stevie's got, I don't know.
Marketing.
Classic. Everyone I know that didn't know what to do but had enough grades just did business or marketing.
Yeah, I didn't even really have enough grades.
Oh, no, I guessed that from the Cali bit, don't worry. I worked that out.
Literally, no, this is no, I've never told him this, I don't think, but I failed my English NAB and my English by one mark.
NAB, that's a word I've not heard years, man.
And my English teacher just went, I'll just give you it. And then and then I passed. I scraped the exam, got a C.
Do you give him a shout?
So I shouldn't have been. It's a she.
I tell you what,
my apologies.
I've got a similar thing though. Seeing my, because I went to uni right after fifth year, so I needed
Did
all
you?
My grades. Aye,
you absolute VL, man.
Well, it's just, it was actually kind of because, well, one, I kind of knew what I wanted to do and I wanted to get all the exams not just out the way, and I was like,
yeah.
I just want to get this over with and fucking start living a stable life. Turns out I've decided to do something. but then, so I was needing them, and my mate, I was in Graphcom with a couple of my mates who were in 6 year, and they were only asked, they were going to get apprenticeships or whatever. And so, in my Graphcom exam, he was like drawing you had today, and I'd pure fucked one up. And my mate, I don't know if I should say his name because it might, but he's my mate Kev just swapped ones with me and I still got like a C for it. But that C,
how good would you be if his was even shittier than yours?
I mean,
but swap it over. This says Epstein didn't kill himself. You're like, what's
how's he know? But that was enough because I needed 4 B's, was my conditional, and I got 2 A's, a B, and 2 C's.
So it bumped up. So,
I think that was the thing that got me in.
Genuine question, did you make any pals at uni when you were like 16, 17?
One.
Yeah.
Who is new Nick who edits this podcast? Directs my shows. So it's worked out very handy. No, see, be honest though, him and I had a mate who I worked with in Asda who was in 4th year of uni at that time. And I worked with Asda Clyde Bank. And being mates with them, if I'd went the year after, I would. If I hadn't met Nick, literally, I wouldn't have had any of this stuff filmed or anything like that. It was a real sliding doors moment for me, because actually, when I got those results, I didn't know if that was enough, because I hadn't actually got 4 B's, and they checked and they said I was in.
Because my mate Craig went to uni in 5th year, and I remember in our school, I don't know why, we did a yearbook for like the first time ever, and we did all the pictures, and Craig got like honorary mention. And the only thing it says under like most known about him, it just says, sadly has made no friends at uni. Like, that's all it said. And it was true, man. He's still my pal now.
Well, I was definitely a fish out of water at the time.
What age were you?
I was just turned 17.
Do you have a fake ID?
No, but I was old enough. And what I'd done, see, when I went to sign up to the union, I just said my birthday was 89 and they just printed it out.
That's clever. That is clever.
So it was only the union I really needed for. And then, but no, it was weird because it's Glasgow Uni and it was... Pure. I remember turning up first time I went to Byers Road and I thought I'd landed in like a fucking alien planet or something. So why is everyone in corduroy?
4 miles when you grew up.
But honestly, it was so different. It was such a culture shock at the time. It was though. When you've no left Clyde Bank basically, and then you go up to fucking Glasgow Uni, West End, and I was still hanging about with my mates. So the weekend's not fucking good. I celebrated my first exams in the December. By going out up this place called The Complex.
I thought you were going to go to the Bully.
A bottle of wine. No, I wasn't even. I was drinking in the streets. I didn't think I'd been in the Bully yet. So that was it, basically.
That's class, man. I didn't realise you were that young.
Aye.
Is that why you're so mature now?
Is that a joke?
No, it's a lovely man, Mark Jennings.
No,
you've got good organisational skills.
I think that was part of it.
You're the only person I know that's got a calendar with dates written down on it. My wee boy's got that, but he's 4, and it's mainly stuff like Pancake Day. I saw that, I was like, ooh, impressive.
But that was me, just went straight away. But aye, thank fuck that Graphcom thing, I might have, my whole life could have been different.
No. Mine too. I think I would have been a joiner if I never got into uni.
Jinx though? Imagine how minted you would have been in lockdown, man.
You'd have been the biggest cowboy.
I would have been a shite joiner. Right? I would have been an absolute fucking shite joiner.
Can you like count? Have you got wee hands, aye?
Yeah. Can I hold a hammer with these?
You were saying that you were working with your uncle as a...
Have you been doing the DIY stuff as well or not?
No, back in the day. Well, I was still working in the co-op, but he's a kind of joiner slash electrician. Guy. Handyman. He's a guy.
Yeah.
A
handyman. He's when you text and he goes, aye, I'll come round, but
aye.
I've never...
60 quid, I'll try it. We'll see what happens. So I was his wee apprentice for like 2 shifts or something like that. And I was just terrible.
I would be so bad at stuff. I can't do any DIY at all. No. Like, I can't even... Hayley puts up the shelves and stuff in our house. Like, I can't do anything.
See, when I, like, have you ever, like, put up an IKEA thing and it's, like, flat pack? I feel like an absolute, so masculine after doing one of those. I'm like...
Alan Keaton, man. Yeah. Like, you're just doing that constantly.
Just look at this bookshelf that I've built and I'm like, I'm class.
I mean, Hayley, my wife's dad, is, like, so practical with everything. And then we're putting up a shelf in our house when we moved in. And he was like, you got a spirit level? And I was like, no, but I've downloaded an app. And he just did the biggest sigh you'll ever. You're like, he's like, I'll be back in 10. And just walked out the door. And I was like, hey, good. Me and John are bonding.
Work, though, it?
Yeah, it kind of does. But then I've got an Android as well, so it kind of floats about like that. So it doesn't really work. So,
shit.
No, no. Adult stuff, man. Get yourself an Apple. Not an iPhone. Just Actually, I was late today because I was setting up my dad's iPhone.
That's what
I was
doing
this morning, yeah. That was my exciting times. Did your mum and dad shape with technology as well?
Basically. Like,
have they got a book of passwords?
I have no idea.
My mum...
But they do that. That's how my dad opens his phone. They've all got that mad flat.
What's this sort of bookcase thing that all the old people have? And then they don't use their thumb.
You know that?
Yeah, I'm dreading the day, man, where I need to take a text up to the light. Like, that's going to happen at some point, like, using that.
That's an admission of defeat, isn't it? When you start, like, increasing the font size on your phone.
I would say some tour venues I've done, I'm not saying the audience were old, but, like, it would take them 3 scrolls to read a text. Like, it's been quite...
Hence, you coming back on the Summer podcast. Get a bit of the younger mob.
If I'd have wanted to do a podcast, I would have texted you guys. Like, there's so many others that I would have rather done. But
Wrestlers, there's no text back then.
Actually, no, not yet. It's coming, I believe. It's coming. I'll do it, mate. It's one of those things. See, I just want to sell tickets so I can take time off.
Yeah.
Like, because you're the opposite. So we did... like big shows in Australia.
Wrestling tickets. Do more.
Let's not go into it. But like, because you toured last year and then you've taken time off to build up.
I don't know about a tour, but I was...
You did like 5-6 dates? I
tour of Glasgow.
Yeah.
Standing Blackfriars and Van Winkle.
No, I did.
Just waiting for the call-up, man. Waiting for the call-up for the glee. One day, man.
Fingers crossed. We've obviously done Perth, and then after that month before I'd done the Kings, I did like wee dates, London, Manchester, I think done Aberdeen, Edinburgh, and something else maybe.
Yeah.
And Newcastle.
It's a tour,
though. I called it a mini tour.
Nice.
But it was just, you know, whatever. Just playing a couple of the clubs and it was all warm up, really, for the Kings.
Mini tours are sometimes better because, like, mini chicken Kievs are better than chicken Kievs. So, like, if you think about that, man, like, mini tours.
Mini eggs better than eggs. Some would argue. Yeah.
I guess you could argue that.
Imagine that was the slogan. better than eggs.
Better than actual eggs. Yeah.
Didn't come out of chicken's arse.
You do big tours, innit? You're not doing mini tours.
That was the most slanderous tone.
No, you do
big tours, eh?
I
do 2 big tours, man. But yeah, I did. So within me finishing a tour and starting a brand new show, it was 10 months. Like, from one tour finishing to the other, which is too quick, man. And also, I don't have a sport act. So I do 2 45 minutes, so it's just really long.
Why? Just because you kind of be out of pain?
No, worse, because I'm doing sing language stuff. Now this tour, because last tour I was singing it on myself, I've had to get them interpreted, or this tour, I've got an interpreter in every venue, so I need to pay an interpreter, which is more money than a sport act would be.
And presumably if there was an act who could do sign language, you wouldn't want to book them because they're taking all your work.
Oh, yeah. I would issue a fatwa and go that way. I don't even know where that word came from, but I'm so happy with it, man.
It's good.
It's all that Glasgow uni chat. Yeah, fatwa. No, that's my USP. So I still tell everyone I'm the only one in the world that does it. I think there's a couple that have tried it. It's really hard, like, to sign and speak.
No, it would be.
It's been cool, but this show's like just me being stupid.
So this shows like you're meeting your doppelgangers.
Doppelgingers.
Right? Doppelgingers.
Yeah.
So people...
do you know, I wrote it down, doppelginger, and so many people on radio said doppelganger, which I never thought of, actually.
Because
I think that's a slur. So I wouldn't use
it
the ginger.
Like
yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It really does.
I really slip. Yes, yeah, so I'm going about out and about meeting people that look like me. Bald ginger people.
So how did this come about? Because you've done shows like this now. I remember you done the Idea Ray show years ago. Where you would get people to send in dares for you to
do. I went on a date with Scotland's Oldest Women and stuff. Yeah.
Actually, funnily about that, the first day of uni I met this guy, and he said he was going to the stand, and he was like, I've seen this guy Ray Bradshaw's tour, and he was talking about all these dares he'd done and all that.
And that was, and you became friends, or you hated him?
No, we became friends.
And is he still a loser? Or like
or was he 60 years old at the time? He's now dead.
He's a mature student.
That's my guys. I could tour for 12 more years or 8 if there's some bad winters. That's all I've got. I did that, and then I kind of wanted to do something that was a bit different but still visual, like, because I've got a big deaf audience, so like I didn't want to just do like an hour and a half of straight stand up, so aye. I thought of doing something different. And then I always get told, like, when we were in Australia, people come up and get pictures with me and stuff like that because I look like people they know. So I was like, right, I'll just go and do it. And I set up a website, doppelginger.net, because .com was 620 quid. They wanted to buy it, and I was like, fuck off, man. So .net was 6 quid. And then I bought the alternative spelling in case anyone spells it wrong. Uh-huh. And then set up a website and people submit. So we had hundreds and hundreds of pictures.
So you just want people that look like you, basically?
Well, but then when I've been on radio, I've just said, like, bald ginger people and stuff like that, and some of the people that think they look like me are insulting. Like, genuinely. There was an old guy who was, like, 66. He was like, I think we look similar. And I was like, yeah, if you zoom in on my balls, mate, like, not anything else, man. It was such a bad one. So it's just been going out and doing just actual nonsense.
Have you had ones that look, like, really similar?
There's a couple of really good ones. Like, there was, I did a tour show in Maidstone, and I walked out, and do you know what I've been doing? And I got told not to. So I've got, because I'm using like a slideshow with pictures of everyone that I've met, I've got like a clicker and a laser pointer. And I was in Bristol, and when it was dark, I was like shining the light on bald people's heads to see like where they were. And then someone in the front row was like, I think that's illegal. Like, I don't think you can do that. I was like, okay, let's not do that, man. So now I just get house lights put up at the start of the show. And I walked out, and I was like, any bald ginger? I couldn't see it. And I looked in the front row, and there was a guy that looked really like me. I'll show you the photo. And, it turns out he didn't know what he was coming to. Like 20 minutes before, he was at his in-laws' house, and they were like, oh, just come, we're going to a stand-up show. And he was like, okay. And then as he walked in, he saw my poster. He was like, no. So like getting duped in.
So are people, bald gingers being sort of dry, no, dried on, but they're being sort of, wow.
So like, which camera, we'll do this one.
I'd say,
send us a pic and we'll get it in.
Nah, we'll keep doing this forever. I need to charge my phone. Just saw that. The camera.
Make sure it's still in focus.
All right. Sorry, I break your camera. I'll send you a picture. Right. You were going to say, you think I look better or worse than him?
Let's just leave it there.
A good looking guy. He was wearing a shirt, and I have the shirt. And I was like, I wish we'd wore that together. That would have been cute. We could have been cool guys together.
That would have been good.
Because you get Martin Boyle a lot, is that right?
Liam Boyce. Heart striker. Good Scottish football knowledge again.
I know that's it.
You get that guy that plays for Spartans.
He plays for Edinburgh. Somewhere in Edinburgh.
I get Hartson a lot. I don't think I look like Hartson.
The joke you used to do, I think, in that story about the dares, is when you were talking about going for the Bollywood audition.
Oh yeah, John Hart's in the musical.
I think about that a lot.
Do you know what? That's one of you must get this as well. That's a joke I'd completely forgot about until you told me one night when we were pissed in Perth. Also, when we go back, just to go back to the DIY chat at the start, you would be terrible at DIY, I think, because do you remember in when we lived together in Perth, it was me, you, and
just
Roscoe.
About the bees?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always a bit.
Sorry, who do you call it for that? Like, I don't think there's any DIY to get rid of a bee's nest.
There's a bee guy that can get it.
Yeah, he's on the side of every road, man.
What's destroyed? I forgot it's every fucking set of traffic lights.
The problem was we didn't have a car in Perth, otherwise we wouldn't have seen it.
I did actually.
When I left.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah. Madman Motors.
Yeah. And weird thing was, you parked it in my bedroom. Like, that's why. Do you know the bee story?
No.
So, Jennings, it was funny living with Mark and Roscoe McClelland. Mm-hmm. You'll never get two more polar approaches to work. Very diligent, writes every day. Roscoe was like, I might try and make hamburgers today.
He was watching a lot of SpongeBob SquarePants, I recall.
Fair play. It's a great program.
What was the, I don't think we talked about it when we did the ones out there. What was the character that he woke you up with? because your bedroom was directly below his.
It was just his character, just him.
No, but he was doing stomping about. He was doing like star jumps, and you had to subscribe. Right. To
no,
his
I just went on his Twitter because I just because he was directly above me. And all I could hear, it was honestly like he had a rat infestation or something. It was like, honestly, somebody, it sounded like somebody in the loft. And then it was just like banging constantly. And I just like, I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Because
like,
I knew it was 7 or 8 in the morning.
Doing Twitch, yeah. I could hear his voice. But then he was like jumping up and I just looked and he's like, he was dancing about on his Twitch.
Was it not a character called Lionel Itchy or something like that? And he was just, was that another day? I can't remember.
It was something called... Oh, I can't remember. Some daft pun.
Samantha Mumbler?
Yes.
Samantha Mumbler.
That was it.
So, Ross got me up there, and then Mark would go out, and we had this wee kind of, I was going to say courtyard there, but essentially prison.
It was just like a wee outside sort of.
But high walls. Like,
and a wee table there.
No roof. Like someone from Cell Block H. And like, you would go out and write every day. And then one of the days you put your washing out and then you came in and we could go see him like that. And we're like, what is it? He was like, there's lots of wasps. There's lots of wasps.
So many, but
you were too scared to get your washing. So me and Ross go to go out and get your washing for you.
Fuck's sake.
I don't remember Ross go there.
Oh, was it just me? Was it?
Ray Dadshaw once again.
What was it? Yeah, I called my show the Ray Bradshaw one year when I was doing a work in progress and Roscoe was like, why do you not call it the Ray Dadshaw? And I was like, that's such a better name, man.
That's good.
I hate coming up with show names. Like, yeah, I think that's so hard.
I nearly actually called mine Jenko and Chain the other day.
Did you? What's the poster?
This is me photoshopped on Jamie Foxx. Yeah. I just like see.
Why is all my audience white and bald? Like, what's happening?
Part of me thinks like it's funny. See if there wasn't the connotations with what that film's actually about.
Yeah.
It would be a good sort of daft. Yeah, well, basically, but it's a daft name, and I want a daft name this year.
Was it not a Jenko in 21 Jump Street?
Yeah, I think that was.
Was it Channing Tatum or was it the other one?
The other get Jonah. Was it Jonah Hill? I can't remember.
Jonah Hill it was, yeah.
Right, so I think I want one of them. No.
No, you want to do that?
No. I can't just call my show 21 Jump Street.
21 Pump Street.
I'm into that. I'm at 21 Pump Street.
We've always been trying to get Steve to call his show Buchanan Poo Station.
Because it's the station where the puss goes. It's good.
That is genuinely horrific. That's so good. So good. Like, you'll have to do it, but only do it in bus stations. Like, that'd be the irony.
Just go up to people. Nah, I don't know. I don't want the wrong audience.
What, the shaggers?
Yeah,
stay that for 21 Pump Street.
Yeah, exactly. They can go.
There's no shaggers coming to Ray Dadshaw.
Well, there is, but
the top shaggers, people have done it successfully.
Retired shaggers.
Yeah. everyone's just wearing Carhartt and those wee things you carry your kids in, just walking about.
So how? So see with this thing then. So you're getting all these doppelgingers in.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How is this going to actually? Like, how are you going to talk about it in the show exactly?
So I'm already in the tour, so I'm already doing it. So I go out, meet them, and I tell the stories about when I met them, stuff that I did. I went and met a doppelginger in India. That was a good laugh.
In India?
Yeah. Really? And
this is the thing, I suppose, by nature about the gingers, it's not going to be a very racially diverse show.
You can see it.
It's not going to be Jenko and Chain.
Or Buchanan Puss Station, because he's a considerate lover of all ethnicities.
Puss Station? Yes.
Puss is better. Puss is better. Puss is more aggressive. Yeah.
I think that would be like kind of just spotty people.
You've got more, I would say, you've got more seeping energy than shagging energy. So Puss Station suits Puss Station.
What? More what energy?
Like, am I seeping? Seeping? Yeah, like a puss. Like, they what
the,
it out.
What the fuck?
That's just the angriest I've ever seen you.
That is a horrible thing to say.
Would you say he's more likely to be ill or a shagger?
Ill or a shagger?
Yeah, because like,
I don't know if he would necessarily be oozing pus.
That look horrible. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait until the people that asked me to get on here hears this bit back. Like,
this is an in-depth interview.
Money well spent with the PR.
Why did they spend 25 minutes talking about bandages? Like, what the fuck? Gauze?
They all look ill.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, you sound it today, but
I feel it. Yeah, yeah, I do feel it.
But you'd been out the weekend, didn't you?
Stag do. Yeah.
How are your stag days like? Because what age are you?
32.
Yeah, so you're in the cusp, man. Once you hit 30, I've got a bit about this now. Once you hit 34, 35, that's your life's over, man.
It's a funny bit. I like that, and I was thinking that, but I'm still. I was like with a group of guys who have not hit that. Well, they have hit that age, but they've not mentally hit that
age. Yeah, yeah.
So they're still going for it, and I was too tired.
Were you in clubs and stuff?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing I always think now, like, because see when you're and it's people still going for it like that, but you're like, do you not realise how you're going to feel the next day now? You're that old, and they do still do that, but then
yeah,
but you can just see it coming a mile away, and I'm like, that's why I'm not doing it.
You still then, do it though. You still
you get
peer pressure's class, man. Like, I'm doing it all the time. It's like,
to be fair though, the last night the stag didn't even make it out, and about four other guys didn't even make it out because the night before was
how many he's went.
14, yeah, 16,
slightly
maybe.
Too many, innit?
Yeah.
Like my brother's was 23. That was way too many, man.
That's a lot.
We played a fives tournament. My brother was sick about eight times in the fives tournament on the Saturday.
Was somebody the referee as well?
No, it was just, I organised it, so it was like, I just made up the rules. My team win.
Fair
all
enough.
All that stuff. I went, stag do's like, I think I told you, like, I went to a stag do last year and my mate brought his own pillow, like, not his neck pillow, like a pillow from his bed, and I was like, that's class,
that's
man. Like, that is the future. Because
my pillow was horrible on that. I fucked my neck from it.
Were you in a hotel or an apartment or what?
A hotel, but it was like right on the strip, so the music's blaring till 6 in the morning.
Just constant pit bull.
Yeah.
Constant pit bull, man. The whole time.
You were saying if you were 18 or whatever and going on holiday and somebody brought their own pillow?
Yeah,
you'd bully the fuck out of them, man. Uh-huh. Yeah. Go on to think they're going to shag it. That's the two ways it goes, isn't it? Why has he brought his pillow? Why is he seeping? I think it doesn't make sense.
I've got quite a lot of pus coming out.
It's so horrible, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, because I mispronounced it. I love, like, me and my mates went away last year. I went to Bruges and just drank really powerful beers and went to the football and stuff. It was just so much better.
I'd like to go
so much better.
Ever since I've seen the film.
I saw the film after, which was a very stupid way of doing it.
Yeah.
Because I went to Australia about a week later and I watched it on the way out. Oh. I was like, I get all the references everyone was making all weekend. I was just like, it's a nice building. Did someone die there? That's a shame.
Yeah. Wondering why they wanted to jump at that watchtower.
I keep wanting to meet covert meetings on a bridge. I was like, why? Why are you doing this, lads? Why are you all speaking Irish? I don't understand it. Man.
Basically, in Bruges is just like the perfect city break. That is pure laugh with your mate. You know, a bit of action, whatever.
A bit of death. It's always what you want.
Good laugh.
What are you like in a stag, dude? You go big?
I think I bring a sensible anchoredness because I still have a good laugh.
I've seen you be very giddy after about four or five pints, and I love it.
No, I do. I like a drink on it, but
then what's the tipping point when you get?
I think I do know my limits to an extent.
There
was one day we went on that boat trip, but
I was going to say that,
but that was a bit. You know,
I was steaming as well, man.
Mad circumstances.
Do you remember we got a noise complaint? Because we're in the boat on the way back in, I put
Celine Dion.
My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion, as loud as we could. Going back in and just 12 absolute steaming people.
I've got a video of that. It was mental.
Have you got the video? I was looking for it the other day.
I'll send you.
That was a good day.
Amazing. I was so good. I was in that boat getting steaming, and I was just
Did you get stuck in a riot? Did you get stuck in the riot as well?
On the way home, we were walking home, and there was a riot because it was Australia Day, and a lot of people protested at Cotton Invasion Day in Australia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we walked through a riot, quite good. And then one of our mates said, "No, the riot police told us to fuck off quickly."
We're trying to go to McDonald's.
Yeah, that's what we said. We just want to go to McDonald's, and they were like, "Fuck off!" And we're like, "Oh, okay." We're so pissed, we didn't even realise, man.
Yeah.
So this was the day after the boat thing.
This is the day of the boat thing. Same. Like, so that night.
Because I don't think I've ever seen you completely steaming.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
It's quite enjoyable. Aye. Quite loud.
What are you like? Do you fall all over the place?
Well, Whiff Neil tells me because he's sober, so he is a good judge of what people like, and he says, you're just the same, just a bit more loud and you get a bit too close sometimes. But I would say in my defence, when he's seen me steaming, it's probably been at comedy clubs.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to whisper in his ear and that's okay, fair enough. You lose a wee bit.
You can hear more stories like that in 21 Pump Street. Where you go on. I think your voice gets louder and your hair gets flatter. Like, I think that's all that happens.
Yeah, it's probably
the humidity, and then there's not that common. It's something I'll never have an issue with. So. My wee boy's obsessed with me being bald.
Really?
Like, he came up what was it? What was it? Two slangers I got yesterday. So I hadn't seen him like 16 days because I'd been on tour and I came back. Just came back for Mother's Day and went out. And then the next day, two things he told me. One, he's like, Daddy, come up here so I can brush your hair. And he was just giggling the whole time.
What then,
do you think he got that from your missus?
No, I think he's quite a good bully. Nah, he's pretty good for that. Mm-hmm. And then in the car, I was listening to Radio 1. He went, Daddy, you're too old for Radio 1. You need to listen to Radio 35, which is my age. And I was like, yeah, that's another good slagging, man.
That's good. Yeah. He's quick.
Yeah, he is pretty good at slaggings. Like,
do you think he'll do stand-up?
I took him down to the stand. I was doing a Jags for Good charity gig, so I'd hired it. So I got the venue. So I was like, come in and see what it's like. And I took him on stage. And he took the mic out, like better than half the open spots I've ever seen. And he started speaking into the mic. And then when he finished, the staff clapped. Like, who were in the bar and stuff like that. Oh, no, that was really nice. But I could see his eyes light up and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm raising a clown, man.
He's caught the bug.
This is him, man. Yeah. Do you know, I did an interview. I'm going to steal an interview question. I'm going to ask you this because I got asked this yesterday. I've never thought of this, right? Uh-huh. Do you, after a gig, is there certain foods you eat only if you've had a good gig and certain foods you only eat if you've had a bad gig? Someone asked me this yesterday. I don't. But she was like, yeah, if I've got a bad gig, I only have a ham sandwich. Like, I'm punishing myself.
Really?
Yeah.
If I had a bad gig, I'd tend to...
Gorge!
Yeah, treat myself, go for a McDonald's, eat brownies and all that.
Well, the impulse is there, but it's sort of similar to the way that you kind of drink, right? Because it's like, you either drown your sorrows or you're celebrating. Yeah. And it's kind of the same impulse with stand-up. If you have a good gig or a bad gig, you've got that same thing. Oh, well, I went fucking brilliantly. Aye, let's have a pizza. Or, oh, I feel like shit. Let's have a pizza.
Pizza. Yeah, pizza's exactly. A lot.
No pizza, but so whatever.
let's get a meal for two from Papa John's. Well, there's not 45 usually minutes.
That time of night, pizza's places are closed generally anyway. But it depends. I'm very all or nothing with food. So if I'm eating healthfully, I will stick on it. Mm. And if I'm not.
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah, you went through that.
I've had a lot of bad gigs and then I've just. The chicken and bacon sandwich and some M&S chocolate
for
the
hoops,
for the Wellbeing Cafe anyway home and all that. I've had a lot of those. You know, so, stopping at Hart Hill.
The amount of times I've stopped there, I just like, what the fuck am I doing in my life, man? I met Pat Nevin in there once.
Did you?
Yeah, and then 2 weeks later, he was on telly saying he thought Thistle might win the league, and I was like, I think I told you that, Pat. But anyway, that's interesting. I think he's the only celebrity I've ever met in Hart Hill Station, service station.
I mean, why would you meet others?
Well, it's a focal point for the celeb community.
Glasgow, the people commuting for Glasgow and Edinburgh.
That's where the Illuminati meet in Glasgow. And they got that wee bus station at the back.
The bus station.
I don't even mean that one of those, lads.
A few people have been pumped there for sure.
Yeah. Why did you say it like you'd done it?
You had a wee twinkle in your eye there.
Yeah. People have been pumped in it. Was me. Definitely was me.
What? It's not just a meal deal. I'm eating anyway, right?
Both of them were very good.
Thanks.
Yeah. I think you spoke over each other, but both were good.
I didn't hear yours. What was yours?
It's not just a meal deal I'm eating. But
Pump number six was
Pump two. Yeah. Did you get like that old
Pump number six. He's
Frank the Frank McAvaney joke. Anyway, what do you eat after gigs, Ray?
Serious Segway. Question.
Yeah, it's the stance as well that makes.
Sorry, this is an in-depth interview. Don't try and wriggle out or Paxman in you.
I don't really. I'm trying to eat a bit healthier just now, so not really. Do you know what I found on tour? I went to a pub the other day. So sometimes I'm driving from like it's like 2 hours from one bit to the other. I'll just type in like because it's like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Usually I'm driving in the daytime, so I'll put in like pub food and find like good pub food. And the other day I went. Where was it? Royal Wootton Bassett.
Oh, aye.
Between Swindon and somewhere, I was going, Newport maybe. And I went to this place and it looked lovely, but it was a carvery. And I was like, I can't get a carvery by myself, man. That would be one of the saddest things. Imagine spilling gravy on yourself and you've still just got to sit there by yourself. I can't do it.
You don't trust yourself enough to get it there.
No, mate, I'm a gravy monster. Like, it's not happening.
I'm not a big fan of a carvery, I must say. I'm not a big Sunday roast guy, but... the only time I've ever been in a Toby Carvery was to do a gig in Shrewsbury.
Oh my God.
That's the bleakest sense ever, man.
It was so weird because we were waiting for the gig to start and you're watching
people. Was it a line-up show and then they were eating the Carvery when you were on?
So the gig was in a back room which was effectively just like any sort of normal kind of circuity gig you would get in some some kind of place. It was, the room was fine, yeah, but it was at the back of a Toby Carvery.
Fucking just smell like Brussels. You know, imagine how demoralising that would be when you're on stage and you know you're dying, you just see someone go get more mashed potatoes. eating it, watching it.
That may have happened.
That's such a bad place to put a gig,
yeah,
on.
And Gary Delaney was on it as well.
Was he?
He was headlining.
Smash it.
Did I or did he? Yeah. I don't know, right, actually. I think it was fine.
I love that's the only time you've been in a Toby car.
I didn't even know what... I was like, got the gig,
and
I'm
not a thing here,
I didn't
it?
Even yeah. know... Well, there is ones about, but it's, I don't think it's that popular. And I didn't know what it was. And then I'm like, all right, it's basically like a fucking... a little chef or a harvester or whatever.
Did you have the food?
So I must have done. I can't really remember.
Do you know what I saw in... Oh, where was I? Somewhere in England. Aylesbury. A Wimpy. You used to be a Wimpy in Clydebank, didn't
I? Yeah, in the Mega Bowl.
In the Mega Bowl, right. I loved Wimpy, man.
Mate, it was great, man.
And it's still going down there, right?
Yeah, but did you ever do any parties at Wimpy? I used to hate when Mr. Wimpy came out, like, dressed as Mr. Wimpy. Do you know what I mean? He was like, he looked a bit Tudor, I think it was, like, red thing. And he would come out, and then you'd be fucking raging because you'd be like, that's the guy that cooks the food as well. So
there's only ever one guy.
We're going to have to wait another 15 minutes on our food for our Bendy burger or whatever it was called, man.
The problem is, everywhere's like a Wimpy now in that sense, because it's just as you go, so many places you go in, there's only one member of staff there.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, it was only the Wimpy that was like that.
At least nowadays you get iPads that you can order from. Back then you didn't have that.
We're living in a Wimpy
imagine
world.
Wimpy had an iPad in like 1992. It's the only place. Like, Mr. Wimpy was like some tech genius, man, and that's why it all shut down, because turns out he was Steve Jobs. Like, we didn't know that.
See, round for Glasgow Central, I remember a few years ago seeing it, and it was like whatever the shop was there
taking the sign off,
and underneath was like embedded into the wall like Wimpy. It was as if it's like been carved into or something. So I've got a picture of something, but it's like
a Wimpy Menchie.
It's like a skeleton. It's like a skeleton of a of a shop, and it's like I had
get what, that out, man. Get that in print.
It's crazy. Yeah.
You could be the new Jack Vetriano.
Probably on. I must have put it online at some point, but it's there. And
there used to be a Dunkin' Donuts down there as well. That I was a big fan of.
Oh, yeah, that's huge in Australia and stuff like that. Dunkin'
Is that
Donuts.
Not still a thing? Is it
America? Not here.
Not
though.
Really. I don't think here. Maybe occasionally. And Baskin Robbins, they'd be half and half.
That's now that. Millie's. They've moved to Millie's.
Have they?
Baskin and Robbins.
There was one of the. What was that thing that was over at Brayhead and it shut now? But it's like a big. It's like a Denny's or something. Was it Brayhead and it shut?
Yeah.
I think that was permitted.
That lasted about 2 months.
Yeah. It's always people just like Popeyes and all that. It pops up and people just go there for like. Queue for 2 hours for something you could get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Do you ever had a Taco Bell?
The Taco Bell, that's kind of managed to limp through it.
Position, it's on Sucky Old Street,
When I was in Guildford, sorry for dropping all these exotic locations, lads.
Getting your 2 days in, but after they've happened.
No, this is like a couple of years ago.
And I'll be back in Guildford.
In 2028. And I went and got a quesadilla and they forgot to put the chicken in. So I didn't notice until I got back to the theatre and all it was cheese and jalapenos. That's all it was. I was like, I paid £6 for this. That was such a spicy cheese sandwich, man.
There is nothing worse than when you order something like that to take away and then you get back and realise that they've not gave you the right food.
I think like genocide's worse. What would you say, Mark?
Well, you know,
Israel or Palestine.
Tomato, tomato. No, of course. Yes, we don't.
But it is pretty bad.
I'm just saying.
He was just about to say we don't condone genocide. He was about to say the line. No,
Free Palestine, all that.
That's your new friend show. Yeah. Sorry.
I don't condone genocide.
Immediate ceasefire. Right.
Genocide.
That would be quite good, actually. Fuck, man. Sorry. Anyway.
You should, mate. It'd be great. Just you in different war zones, just standing there like
I'm trying to relate to your fucking story. This is the thing about Ray, right? You are a nice guy. Maybe one of the nice. I've never seen anyone be able to go on so much with people, but you're also a bit of a dick. That's something people don't say enough about you, right?
You know, what I like is, I've done this before with other people, if you get other nice people to break, it's so good, man. I remember...
he's a nice guy, but a puff of the things he said to me.
Said that looked
ill. I forgot about that.
Often unnecessary criticism of things, but...
I was just saying.
He brings up that bee hang every fucking time I see it.
Actually, I really do, because it is funny. But I don't know why me saying genocide as bad as a bad thing, because you seem to be angry at that, Mark.
Just try to relate to your thing. It's a figure, when you say there's nothing worse, it's a figure of speech. Of course there's things worse. It's your fucking tour show.
I'm Miss McPherson.
Probably no point in going back to this, but like, I went to McDonald's and I asked for no tomato sauce. I hate tomato sauce. On a, like,
do you know what's so funny? Because you said this about, you told about when you went to Meat Stack in Newcastle,
yeah,
and you said that you asked for no tomato sauce.
I think they gave every comic has been there because it's down the road.
And they gave you extra tomato sauce. I was in the other day and I said, I was asking about the mustard because I'm like, oh, do they all come with the mustard? Because I wanted the mustard. And he went, oh, do you not want the mustard? And I thought, that's because of you, probably.
She was so confused.
This just further proves my theory that you used to do everything together. Like the fact
this is separate occasions.
I know, but even though the people at Meatstack know you come as a pair. Like, that's what's all I'm saying. I'm like, oh, it's the other one.
I remember so you confused. Said to me, I remember you said to me once, he goes like, oh, do you think you and Steve will ever associated? Like, do you think your career will ever just be you and everybody just thinking?
Yeah, because I always used to think like, it was your house and he lived in the loft. Like that's it. You just came as, it's like, you know, when you think about other comics, like you can't imagine them having families. You think every other comic's an orphan because you never meet their families. You never see them. Mm. But at the start, you two were always together and CMB and Roscoe were always together. So they were a pair, you were a pair. Now you've all become successful in your
own right. Now we've got Sturm
McPherson. Yeah, we've just adopted
Now you've got a thruple. He's come in.
So in a way you were right, actually. No one will ever know associates with each other.
But no, I was just thought, used to just, you know, like one of those two up, two down houses. Like you had one bit, you had the front door, you had the side door.
That's a good sitcom idea. Yeah, right. That's just basically 18 still grand. Game.
Yeah, the odd couple.
But no, because there's stairs in this one. They're flats. Totally
that's
different.
True. Completely
totally
different.
Yeah.
She was just so confused when I said I don't want sauce, and she was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I don't want tomato sauce," and she couldn't get her head around it.
What do you mean? Is such a funny comeback.
I know,
what do you mean? And then she was like, and she was like, why? And I was like, I don't fuck with tomato sauce.
Is that what you said?
And she said,
you've said that before. You always say that.
Not to her, that's who it was.
That's an insecurity because you don't like to say that you don't like it. So you say, I don't fuck with it.
I don't fuck with it.
That's so good.
And then, but the other time at McDonald's, they gave me extra and I was already driving away. Me and Stu were going to a gig and I just had to give him a burger. And he gave me one nugget in return. Fuck. He didn't even give me all six.
Stingy, man.
Yeah.
One nugget.
Now that he's not here, I can speak my truth.
Call him out.
Fuck him. And it's weird I look over. Like, as if he's going to be there.
Yeah. I think I might have even told you this before, Ray, but our mate, actually, when we were in school, we'd go to McDonald's every Friday or something, and he was quite a
fellow fish.
A fussy eater. He would ask for toasted buns.
No burger.
Just the buns.
Cheese.
Just listen, I'm telling you everything they ordered. Toasted buns.
Did he not fuck with beef? What was the deal?
Did he fuck with food? But they got to the point
I would understand if she was like, what do you mean? But with sauce,
it must have been the staff that coined the phrase of what he was, toasted buns. Because like, I guess what we must have had is, can I have this but none of this stuff? Yeah. And he went, so you just want toasted buns? And so as we used to always like joke about that. And then I got to the point where,
what else would he eat like the rest of the time?
He was quite, he just be, would be really, really
just fussy. Did he have the chips?
No.
Was your mate a duck?
But he, but it got to the point where, like, this, we'd gone every Friday, you could see the staff kind of nudging around.
Absolutely buzzing to serve him, man.
But I feel like that sometimes, even if you ever want a thing in order, I think, like, I don't know how much it's in your head, because see when you do ask, oh, can I get any of this that, you wonder, oh, are they going, oh, what a fucking weirdo, or is it just like...
Probably. I think there was a rumour before McDonald's cut back, the only way you could get an extra star was if you served the toasted buns guy. Like, that was the only way. Like, you'd be stuck in one for ages because you didn't work Fridays, you'd be livid. Sometimes I think they will be. Also, some of the times it must just be like, because I've never worked in a kitchen, I've worked in bars and stuff like that. I mean, people are awkward, just like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah,
like, let's just get in and out of here.
Because I like it when it's something that, like, it could potentially be an allergy. Although sometimes I go in and I get the opposite of toasted buns, and Five Guys get nae bun as a burger.
I was going to say, Ali Houston does done that.
What, you getting
Oh, I just got just a lettuce meat. Bun to, if I'm trying to stay off of carbs.
Yeah.
And then they always ask, is it an allergy or a preference? Aye, it's on the thing. And I sometimes just say it's an allergy.
Yeah,
no, I don't.
Yeah,
yeah. I actually say it's a preference, but like, it's good to have that sort of plausible deniability. It could be an allergy. I'm not just being weird with my food here.
Mm. Yeah, but you were.
But I am.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah. Grilled was that place in Australia you went to 14 times a week.
I would just go basically every day. I so wish there was one in the UK.
Was it just like a Five Guys?
It's place? Just a burgers place, but they done a flatbread bun and it was great. And it's a brilliant, but it is a good burger.
I went once, it was all right. It was like, it was fine.
I did Hungry Jack's.
Yeah. Meal for two at the end of the night. I've done that a couple of times. Absolutely steaming. My flatmate, when I was at uni, to see what we talk about for staff and all that, he did a thing that. He used to go into All Saints or like really fancy, really good looking guy. And he would chat to the girl and he would chat her up and all that kind of stuff. And he would ask her out and she would say, more times than often, she would say, yeah. And he would go buy like an £800 jacket or like I think one time it was like a 180 quid scarf. So he would go on a date with a girl, chat, find out when she was working. And a day she wasn't working, go back and return it.
Oh,
and so it looked like a big dog. And he would do that all the time. And I thought that's what you would do with Grilled. Just go in every day and just chat up all the staff and invite them to 21 Pump Street and see if they want to.
Yeah, hey, I'm returning the burger that I've seen.
Just spewing in a bin and back in.
You'd think that the other staff would tell her.
That's what I thought. But he did it like three different... It was always when we got our sass in, our student loan. Not like sass.
No.
That's quite sassy.
Yeah, very good.
That is a good idea, actually.
Yeah, it was actually quite clever. It's also... I've never talked about this, so I'm sorry, Brett, if you are watching this. Before he moved in, we got a letter, and his name was Brett James Cummings. So we got a letter saying to Mr. BJ Cummings, and I was 18. That is the best thing in the world, man. That is the best thing ever.
That's an unfortunate name.
You wouldn't live that down.
No.
At 18.
No, he was like a ladies' man, and
he's lucky that he was good looking.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, if you're pussy, you're not
living that down.
Such a good phrase, full of pus.
I think Stu uses the word pus to mean face.
He does.
That's a Fife thing.
Yeah.
He's actually, Ross Leslie put up a picture of, I think it was like Eleanor Morton or something. He went, he has Eleanor's big pus, and then people are like, Ross.
That's
not
hurtful.
Reading how you're thinking.
That's hurtful. That's a slanderous accusation, actually. That's so good, man. I love it.
BJ Cummings, a big ladies man. Nominated determinism, that's called, where the name affects how you become as a person.
Aye.
Is it? So is that why my audiences are all old people, because my name's Raymond? Like, is that what happens? Yeah.
Well, it's like, why it's good that Paul McStay was called Paul McStay and not Paul McFuck off to England.
I mean, that's a niche joke. It's quite good.
It's good. No, but that's normative. It's like Usain Bolt.
Yeah.
He's fast.
Stuff
like that. It's like mad.
If Dennis Law was a lawyer.
Yeah, or if like. Yeah. Or it's good because like Donald Duck was a duck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lawrence Fox. No, don't get it.
No.
He would be. He's a fox. If fox hunting, maybe Tory. Kind of works.
Okay.
Such a petty bit.
I'll give you that.
Anyway, what's been happening anyway? So you've we need to start this in depth. You've done more and more of hosting off the ball in recent times.
Yeah, it's fun. I just like chatting football, man.
Aye.
So who do you fill in for if somebody's off?
Tam or Stuart, whoever's off. Yeah, so I've done lots of them.
Had any good stories, football related ones in the?
Trying to think ones that I can probably say. Nah, there's one I can tell you's off that involved legal action, but I don't think I'm allowed to tell you that.
Okay.
How? Not through off the ball, but something else.
How much do you need to know about football?
See, I know a lot. Like, I'm a massive dude.
If I came on, would I look like a cunt?
No, well, man, I've brought people on before.
I've done it a couple of times, and I'd follow Celtic and all that, but like, I need to, see when I'm on these, I always feel like I need to pretend I know more about.
Yeah.
I've literally got fucking the Hearts and Hibs strikers mixed up earlier on. Like, I feel like I need to pretend like I know more about teams.
I know about like early 2000s Rangers players, and that's about it. I could talk about Russell Latapy or something.
Yeah, we can talk about him smoking in the toilets, which was a thing quite a lot, or we could talk about EBTs and how they got paid. That'd be a good laugh, I'm sure.
Before that,
I got Ross
Steve has actually just been paid a dodgy contract to support them at the time. somewhere.
I got a... Because that's quite a fun thing. Like, some of the producers sometimes say, who do you want to get on? So we get other comics on. So Liam's done it, Liam Withnail. Ross goes on one of the days after a Scotland game, and he just started talking about how funny it was when Rangers went down to the bottom division. And Stuart, who I was supporting with, presenting with, he was like, "Oh, so you're not a Rangers fan?" He's like, "No, I'm." It's just, it was quite funny.
Last time I was on, Tam said to me, he's like, "I thought you were a Rangers fan. I think that's why I get booked."
You sad about it? No, Motherwell. Tam's Motherwell, that's Stuart, right. St Johnson, Sam Thistle.
Yeah.
It's so fun, like, because I grew up listening to that programme. I'm a huge football fan. Like, I'm a football geek. I've played football with both of you. Actually, quite good.
I think me and Steve are a similar level.
I've seen him score an overhead kick.
Aye, but it's no hard. He's about fucking 4 feet.
He works hard. James, you got better as we played because you'd obviously spent a lot of time not playing football.
Aye, I just hadn't played in ages.
You look like you'd be good.
Yeah, all the gear. Yeah.
No idea.
No, I wouldn't say that bad.
Score some alright goals now and again. I'm not saying I've never been a good player, but I'm competent enough to be in a fives team.
We used to play sevens on Monday. I used to just turn up and try and nutmeg people. That's all I would do. In one box, people would be raging, but I was like, I'm playing for the fans, guys. That's like, that's what I'm here for. I used to enjoy doing that.
I miss that game.
McPherson's got a good left foot.
Yeah, he's got a good shot on him.
Roscoe's got brittle knees.
The first game I played in that sevens game was him getting injured and fucking his knee.
That's right,
aye. Fuck. Yeah, I've
first game CMB wore a pair of.
It was like the Renford Rejects for that
game. Oh, I didn't play in a CMB. No. Did CMB play in goals?
Wearing his Doc Martens and goals, I had a shot at him, bent his hand back, and he never came back.
Yeah, why would you? See, if you don't like football, someone hurt you. You're like, fuck this.
Do you not manage a team or a Sunday team?
Yeah, so I still run a Saturday morning team. And then West Glasgow, we're called. And then Sundays, I play. Problem is, see, we gigging and family and all that. I've only played maybe two or three times. Did I ever tell the story in this about when I scored my amazing goals on a Sunday? I'll tell you the story. Remember. You can edit it out if I did. I played. So Sunday afternoons, this is maybe about 2 or 3 years ago.
You'll save this when you're on Gary Neville's podcast.
Yeah, with the overlap. Just waiting on Micah Richards giving me a shout. No, I did that advert for M&S. So it was me.
Aye.
Who was it? It was me,
Robbie Savage,
Jermaine Genus, Stephen Craigan, and James McFadden. And it was it was pretending to be in my house. So they hired this studio in London, and all they did was put pictures of me up. So it looks like I'm a really lonely person. I've invited all these footballers to my house. We just ate curry and did football trivia. It was like, do you ever walk out of days and you're like, I can't believe I got paid for that?
Yeah,
like that was mad. It was so, so surreal. But yeah, so.
What sort of trivia? What's your favourite fit? What's the?
Oh, mate, I've got a note on my phone of Trevor. I'll go out with my mates for like 4 hours, have maybe 4 or 5 pints, come home, and Haley's like, "How's your mates?" And you're like, "I don't know, but I know that Mac knows that Colin Nish scored 90 goals for Kilmarnock over a 4-course season." Yeah. Like, even last time we were out, me and my mates just chatting football the whole time, and as we're leaving, my mate Mac was like, "Oh yeah, I bought a flat." And like, we'd not talked anything about our lives at all. It's trivia because we're absolute fucking losers. But no, it was about 3 years ago. We played Firhill Complex. And I would play in the 2-4 game, and afterwards there's a group. I don't know if they were in. It was mainly like people, asylum seekers, people coming from Africa. So they would play the game afterwards, and I knew a couple of the guys. One of them had played for Thistle before, Johnny Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
In with about 10 minutes to go in the first game, I scored from about maybe 40, 45 yards, like 11. I was like wind assisted. Saw the keeper off his line, just put it in. Mm-hmm.
To be fair, CMB was in goals. His Doc Martens.
Couldn't get off the ground with his Docs on. And then all the guys at the side, like, whoa! And then the next week, about 5 minutes ago, someone took a short corner to the edge of the box. I took it and I banged it in the top corner. And it was like two of the best goals I've ever scored, right? And all the guys at the touchline were like, oh, amazing. Like clapping me off. The next week, I went back to my usual standard, played absolute dog shit. And as I came off, one of the guys just went, oh, you're just a lucky man. And I was like, that is the most soul-destroying bit. And I was like, yes, I am. Yes, I am, man. But no, I love football, man. Like,
yeah. You've never done a show about football?
No, because I don't know if that would like alienate a lot of people, because some people just don't want to hear about it.
But people must come and see you if they, like, when you've done the football podcast. And
when I did Talk FM, we got a lot of people off that. We used to do live shows. They were good fun. Someone once put their hand up with Jason Scotland, the Trinidad and Tobago striker, and someone put their hand up in the audience. And then we were like, you got a question? He's like, no, his Rolex is blinding me. Can you ask him to take it off? So he took his watch off.
He was in the audience?
He was on the stage. We were interviewing him.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so now, what is weird for me, like when I do the pavilion and stuff, like footballers will come see me who I used to pay money go watch. I think they're all weird. That's cool. Like some of my favourite players.
I once done a corporate gig in the Glasgow Central Hotel.
Yeah.
And it was completely unplayable, right? I went up after there was a football awards trophy getting handed out and people were like, yes, lifting the trophy. And now Mark Jennings. Yeah. So I was like, no, that way. I was just in the middle of a room with a mic, but nobody even knew I was there, except from the table closest to me, who was sitting there, none other than former Celtic midfielder Massimo Donati, who was just watching me die my arse. And I'm like, I remember you scoring last minute against Shakhtar Donetsk in Champions League, and now your life is watching me die my arse.
I played in a Chris Doolin's testimonial against Celtic, and I was marking Massimo Donati.
Aye.
And I went, you smell lovely, and he went, don't talk to me. I was like, okay, thank you. I got skinned by Tom Boyd in that game and everything. There's lots of those kind of like football stuff. People do come from Shock FM, or like I said, if I do Talk Sport or Off the Ball, people do definitely come from that, which is nice. I don't know if I'd ever do a show all about football.
You've done like after dinner sort of.
Yeah, corporates, all those kinds. Oh, this is what I was going to say. Grand Central Hotel, I did one years ago. It was like I can't even remember the charity. And the only person I spoke to afterwards was, do you remember Olivier Bernard? Mm-hmm. So he played for Newcastle. He was on loan at Rangers for a bit, left back. And he came into the bar and he was talking to me because he was manager Gateshead at some of the time. And I was about to do Newcastle stand, so we just chatted football. And I started talking to him. And do you know what, wait, have you ever talked to someone who clearly has no idea what you're talking about, but they just humour you? Because I was saying he should try revamp a kid's show called Olivier Bernard's Watch, and how he could go about stopping time and all this kind of stuff. And he could not have given a fuck in the slightest, but he was so polite to me. Like, so polite. He was like, oh yeah, that's okay. I'm going to go back to my friends now. And I was like, yep, cool, nice to meet you. Just think about it, mate. Because the Queen's nose, like...
Evidently he'd spoke to Donati. Yeah. Don't talk to me.
Did you know you done something bang out to... Marcus de Beasley. Marcus Beasley.
Marcus de Beasley. Do you know, so many people, I've heard him called that so many times.
No, me and my mates were in Tunnel years ago, and sometimes you would see footballers it was Kurt Broadfoot, De Beasley. Marcus Beasley and somebody, I think it was.
You've got to say Marcus Da Beasley, because Marcus Beasley sounds like he was in Harry Potter.
Big DeMarcus, right? And I'd done that thing. There was a video of like Derek Johnson or something getting this done to him. It was like Mulligation, and Beasley is like just going up and going, can I get a picture, mate? And then just giving him the camera. So DeMarcus Beasley took a picture of me and my three mates in Tunnel. I've still got it. So it was on my Bebo or something at the time. It's a pure dick move.
Out of Facebook memories.
Please don't do that to me. Although if you did, fair enough.
If he's in Tunnel, questions are going to be asked. Do you still go to clubs?
No, I've been to clubs for years, man.
Do you remember what you think one day? You were in a club at the weekend though.
Aye, but holiday's different.
Is it?
That's...
Were you tapped off or?
No.
What were you drinking in the club?
Vodka, soda water, and lime.
Nice.
Seen a video of you and you fell on your ass.
Oh yeah, get that out.
I was but it was a bit. It started off as a bit where
I did see this.
I slip about. I used to do it in the Chinese across from the Ettrick all the time. They'd be raging. They'd be like, "Get out, get out." So I was doing it just to make my.
That's so good. Imagine you walking by the Chinese. So I was like, "Oh fuck, it's a slippy guy." Oh no, even worse, he's with toasted buns.
Just because it's a slippy flare, you would do.
Aye, so if it was a slippy, I was good at keeping my balance.
Such
so
a bad bit.
It's so bad, but it got the people going.
Oh, like my dad would kill himself laughing at my like.
It's
I don't
a bad slaps.
Play
like,
for
know?
The fans, man.
Yeah, physical humour.
5 minutes of the new show. This
walk out. Buchanan's just pouring water on the stage.
Be with you in a minute. Hold on.
I would find that more watchable than a lot of stand-up. Like, I think that is great.
I might do it. Actually, it's a good idea. Yeah. Started doing that, and then. I actually genuinely just fucking cunted it, and my knee was so sore. Dropped my drink, cost me €5.
That's brutal, man.
Raging.
I had a mate when we were in Cushion. Anytime, do you remember Black Eyed Peas? I Got a Feeling.
Whenever
they said Mazel Tov, he would smash his drink like, every time.
Sake.
And he would do it. And it would get to the point where we walk in, he would just get papped out by the bouncer every time. We'd go in, and he'd be like,
"Don't play that.
Are you gonna?" Smash your drink tea. He's like, no. And then Black Eyed Peas would come on, and people looking at like, the bouncers would just be around them waiting. He'd be like, every time. I don't know why he did it, but it made me laugh.
When that happens, is it not like you stomp in your glass or
something? Laheim, that's what they say after in the lyrics, isn't it? I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Why is that?
don't know, just to make, I think it's so more people can like pretend they're slipping. It's pretty, they're just team players, man.
Get ice.
And then when they do slip, they land on glass. You're just like, ah, you're a big idiot, man. That's that way.
You've been, you occasionally now are on Sky Sports as like the local Scottish wind up whenever there's a. Yeah.
Mate, see the amount of abuse I get from English fans, man. There's, when we played England in a friendly, I went OTT. Like, I was talking about how England were just such a poor nation. They beat us 3-1. And I was just bam. I remember I was on, I was at the game, and then I looked at my phone, and the video of me just slagging off the English people was getting more and more bookmarks as the game went on. Like, people saving it to come back to me. And then I just switched my phone off because people were going at it. Yeah, so I'm going out to Germany. Are you going to Germany?
Yeah, we're going.
What, have you booked up?
We need to get accommodation sorted still, but we'll figure it out. What are you doing for it?
Oh, this would be good, actually. I'm going to look straight down the camera in a sec. If anyone can... So the first 4 days I'm away, I've got a one-way flight so far, and the first 4 days I'm missing my son's national graduation, my wedding anniversary, and my wife's birthday. So if anyone can get me Taylor Swift tickets, please, to save my marriage. That's a direct plea to action. Going to Munich for the first couple of games, for the first couple of days, like 3 days in Munich.
You got tickets?
Potentially, it looks like yes. But then...
good connections.
Yeah, and then I still have to pay, which is shite. But then in between the two games, we're going to a stag do. So my mates...
in Germany?
Yeah, my mates, we're going to just a random city, potentially, or a different country, because he doesn't know, and I know he listens to this. when I did Soccer FM, my football podcast, it turns out the stag do I was going on was a surprise, and I talked all about it the week before my mate found out, and his wee brother was raging. And then we're going to stag do for a couple of days and go back to the game, and then I might stay out for the third game. Are you out for all three games or just one or two?
Full group stages.
So I don't know. Have you got tickets yet?
Nah, we went for the ballot and never got any.
We'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Message tenants or something. See if they can
figure some stuff out. If anyone would like to.
Yeah. It'll be hard for because all the official sponsors won't have it. Did you get the suitcases?
Yeah.
I didn't get one. I was gutted.
I actually took it to Newcastle at the weekend.
Newcastle?
Were you trying to like get the stickers off?
Take the stickers off.
What are all the stickers on?
It's just the places that they would be in qualifying.
So where are those places?
Georgia, Spain, Norway. Aye.
There's one more.
What?
Yeah.
I can't fucking remember.
Just on the wind up.
I don't know. But anyway, it's because my other suitcase had the wee thing that you carry, it was broke. So
yeah,
it was good.
So if you go for a weekend, are you taking a suitcase?
Aye.
Take like a wee night bag thing.
Whatever.
How was your weekend? Was it nice?
It was good, actually. Aye, Saturday was.
Did you go to that pub, Lady Grey's?
There was free. The only thing about it, there was free Scottish acts on. Me and Gareth Watt, and then John Scott, who's based in there.
Yeah.
So fair. I was on last.
Gareth Austin.
No, Gareth. No, we brought in spots. Right. So by the third time I had to come up, and I'm like, ah, I know, I can't believe I'm Scottish as well. But what I did say was the stand were nice enough to all book us because we all get sacked for the Willy Wonka experience.
Ah,
last
nice.
So I was like, but I needed something because I'm like, imagine going to like Glasgow and the whole act's Geordies.
You think it's a night, like a theme night?
I was best of Scottish just in Newcastle.
Did you ever do like King Gong? In Manchester, the Gong Show. Did you just go down together?
Yes.
Well, that's
right. Because people used to. I remember the first time I did it. So I lived in Liverpool. So it was the first time I met Chris Forbes, and Forbes had won it, and I beat it, but I didn't place. But I noticed whenever there was like a car full of Scottish people coming down, like by the third or fourth one, they would just die in their arse.
I was the fourth one on, and then after about 10 seconds, fucking gonged off. You beat it. That was a long drive back home.
It was just the two of yous.
Aye.
No, but then there that night, Gregor Burns was on or something, and he won, and then it was,
then
was some other...
Mikko was on...
A few other cars came down.
Yeah.
But that's happened quite a few times, and then by the time it was getting to the point where I think it was Mikko or something up, and he just started speaking, and they're like, put the cars on just because they're sick of Scottish guns.
It's so funny, it's just one accent, and they just wipe it out. Like, what's the point in that, man?
Yeah.
I know. But that is a pain in the ass with the type of
Are you missing doing like travelling for gigs and all that kind of stuff? Because you've got the lovely balance now.
No. Balance of what?
Like doing sketches, doing everything like...
Yeah, no, I don't miss the fucking travel lodges and that. Do you like that?
No. Oh, mate, it's the worst.
It's shite. I hate it. You don't really mind it, do you?
It gets old. I think it would be nice to do what you're doing, Ray, and be doing it as part of a tour. Yeah. I think the circuit and all that. I feel like you've done, when you do it enough times, you're a bit like, this kind of feels. It's, you know,
groundhog.
It's when you know, when you go to certain cities and you know where the good pubs are, where the good food places are, you know, I can get brunch here. You're like, God, what's happened to me, man?
You're trying to recreate a good time you had 3 times ago. You were there or something. You know what I mean?
So, at least if you've got, you don't even have a support act that you can just hang about with either.
No, so I'll chat to the interpreter for like an hour before the show. One of my interpreters, two of them look like me. So I was in Bristol and he walked out and the audience started clapping and cheering. And over the mic, I was like, that's not me. You've just proved the whole point in the show. So that's thank funny. You.
You've got to use them, for the.
And then one of the interpreters I had turned up in Swindon and he was the bass player for a Slade tribute act. So like he just turned up long like ponytail. I was like, mate, let's just dinghy the show and go for a pint, man, because you sound fascinating. This is well better. So there's a lot of times where I just end up, like, I'll phone my mates and they'll be like, you never phone me. And I'll be like, yeah, I've got no one to talk to. Like, when I'm on tour. So, like, long, do you want to tell me about your feelings?
Yeah, the long drives you could do with me.
Oh, mate, I did 8 hours to Aylesbury one day. That was brutal. The show
was
fun.
Back up the road after? Or
nah, so I'll do a couple. So, what, the other day, I left the hotel at 4 to fly home at 6:30 and then come home. And then my wee boy was like, can I jump in your stomach? And he did, and I was like, I feel like I'm going to shit myself. Like, why has this happened so quickly, man, after me getting home?
Well, if you want to see Ray on any of his tour dates where he's as miserable as he's just described.
Yeah, you can hear all about my views on genocide like all that stuff.
So, your show's coming up. When are you playing the Glass? So you're at the Pavilion again?
Yeah, so I'm in Edinburgh. I'm doing Queen's Hall in Edinburgh on the Thursday, the 18th of April. 19th of April I'm at the Pavilion, 20th in Glasgow, 20th of April I'm in Greenock at the Albany, which was the most piss gig by a mile last year. People getting up to go for a piss at like 10 minutes in. One guy took an ecchi before the show. I was like, mate, it's not
that kind of
fucking
show.
Subtle humour and sign language, why are you pilling it, man? And then I head up to the Lemon Tree in Aberdeen on the 21st, the Sunday, and then Eden Court on the 22nd, the Tuesday, and then like Leicester Square Theatre all around the UK. If you can think of a place that you wouldn't want to go, I'm probably going there. Like, that's pretty much my slogan. Definitely. Like,
if you live in one of these places, well, it might be one of the bright sparks in your bleak existence.
That's my opening line every day. Yeah, I'm just here to make your lives better. And they're like, who the fuck are you? I'll be booked to see John Hart's in the musical. Like, what's happening, man? But no, it's fun, man. And then what are you? Are you going to tour again in a while, or what are you going to do?
No, I'm doing the Fringe, and then we'll take it for there. But
Are you doing the Fringe again?
Not currently, but I don't know. I might do.
Do you know what's weird for me, right? Because you probably view me as an older man. Because you look, I started about 10 before years older. Yeah, look about 10 years older. My knees crack when I stand up. Like all the other stuff. I don't pretend I'm slipping on the floor. Like, I've got no show names about shagging. Like none of them. But it's funny for me now because like I started doing stand up before yous. And there's only maybe 2 or 3 years between us. But then now at the Fringe, or it's mainly the Fringe, not so much Glasgow Comedy Festival. My mates are like, oh, we might come see your show, but we're going to go see Steve Buchanan, or we're going to go see Mark Jennings, or we're going to see... And I'm like, no. Like, that's not part of the deal of being my friend. Come see me.
Yeah.
Don't go see these people. Like, everyone was like, they went to your shows and loved it. Someone went to McPherson's and CMB's and Roscoe's. And it's really funny for me because, like...
Because you're like basically a guy who's like 3 years older than us in school and caught in a comedy sense.
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly it.
A couple of years ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, why are they hanging out with the young kids? The fucking nonsense, man. Like, when they go. So, when I see that, but it's class to see you both smash it and do all your different things.
Yeah.
Thanks for nearly saying that like you meant it.
That's just as serious as I'll get, man. Yeah, it's nice, man. Like, I've never understood that thing of people who get better for other people. Understood that, man, because we all do different things. So, it is nice when you see people do well. And Scottish comedy, like, I was saying this on the radio yesterday, Scottish comedy seems to be better than ever.
Yeah.
Like in terms of what people are doing. Like you look at Susie selling out the Kings all the times. Nelson's doing a big tour. So many people doing such cool things. Janie's got a film about her. Like all this stuff. So I think you guys do really well with getting people in here. Like spreading Raymond Mearns' message to the world. That clip, I don't know who edited. Did you edit that clip? Yeah, that is one of the best clips. I can't remember where I was. I was abroad somewhere and I watched that about 40 times, man. It's just like, yes, man. Yes.
So good, isn't
he? Well, Mearns-y. I know, he's brilliant and it's been nice. And but I think, like, to your point, it's like, I think we, particularly nowadays with social media and podcasts and that type of stuff, it sort of spreads the wealth and it means that we can all find our own audiences, as opposed to before. I think there's more of a competitive thing because it's like, oh, well, there's only one TV spot up for grabs, everybody's going for it. If that one person goes, we're all fucked. Whereas now, we can all find our own niches, and I think you're a great example of doing that as well, and all the different things you do. And then, we, you know, you just find your thing and you find your audience. And that's,
do you know, when you're talking about me being 3 years old at school, I've never felt older in comedy probably than, do you remember I was saying to you, I'd just set up a TikTok account and I put up this video, and it was the video you filmed of me at the Jags for Good, and I was like, it's not really working. He was like, well, if you put it, it was a longer video if you do that. And the next thing, it was like 150,000 views, and I was like, I'm getting advice from just a small man, and my life is becoming difficult, man. Yeah, I've never felt more of a boomer. I was like, well, if you need mortgage advice, I've got a good mortgage advisor, we can help you with that.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, that's what I am now.
Hopefully I'll never need that advice. But congratulations on your success. Which I nearly said, like, I mean, man, no, listen, I think that's about time to wrap up. Thanks a lot for joining us.
I'm glad you accepted my request, supposedly. That's
it, right. You can thank your PR for that one. Yeah. It's good to get you back on. And,
can't believe I've paid to do this, is it?
You know, thanks a lot, Ray, man. As ever, guys, and obviously do check out Ray on tour, as we mentioned, we'll put the link in the description and all that. As ever, you can follow us at Some Laugh Pod on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. Do remember to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and like and subscribe on YouTube as well.
Do the bit about asking to get me Taylor Swift tickets as well.
If anyone's got Taylor Swift tickets, I could maybe help you with that.
All you need is 2 visits to 21 Pump Street.
42 Pump Street. and obviously, as ever, just if you get an emails for us, any questions, you can email us at somewhatpod@gmail.com. Literally, no one ever does that, but you can do it anyway if you'd like to. Aside for that, thanks a lot for tuning in. Cheers. And we'll speak to you very soon.
Cheers, Rhett.
Cheers, guys.